So we were saying Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, that he says Amar Eitzel Moshe Loshon Kabbalah. So the Maral had asked before why by Moshe it says Kabbalah, that Moshe Kibel, right? By all the other Manda Amrim, by the, all the other, you know, links in the chain of Masara, it uses the word of Masra, that this one gave it over. Whereas by Moshe it says Moshe Kibel Misinai. So we're saying, so we're talking about the Yesodi or Kiamakabel, who Makabel of Yikocho. The person who receives, he's receiving it according to his ability, right? It's a big Yesod in the Maral that there's the Torah and then there's the recipient. Meaning the Torah is received according to the capabilities of the recipient. The recipient needs to prepare himself in order to be able to receive Torah. If the recipient isn't capable, then there's a limit to how much he can receive. And here he says something incredible. V'lo kibo Moshe kol haTorah. Moshe didn't even receive the entire Torah. How do we know? That it says in the Gemara in Shavuos, it's hidden from all living. Who knows it? In the same parak, it says there's no one that knows its value. In pain, if that's true, it's not possible that Moshe received the whole Torah. Yeah? Because the Gemara says no living person has received the entire thing. And the Kibbutz Torah, Masha Efshar Lekabel. That's really quite remarkable. So we were bringing over here the Rashi in the second pasuk of Shir HaShirim. It says, Kitovim Dodecha Meyayim, V'diber Emayim Panim El Panim. At Sinai, God spoke to the Jewish people face to face. V'ozom Dodim Odam Arevim Aleim. That belovedness is still precious to them, to the Jewish people. Yeah. Mikol Shashua Umuftachim Me'ito. And they are guaranteed by him, by God, Lo Fia Od Aleim, to appear to them again. Levaer lahem sod ta'amea umistar tfunosea, to reveal to them the secrets of its reasons and its hidden treasures. Umachlim panav v'kayim devaro b'zei yashkenu shikos piyo. And the Jewish people are expressing their yearning for this to take place, and that's the prayer, yashkenu shikos piyo, to kiss me and embrace me again. So we see that even what was revealed at Sinai wasn't the whole thing, so to speak. Yeah, like there's more secrets to be revealed. There's more layers of meaning to be revealed in the Torah. Aval Amra Umasra Yoshua, and then immediately it switches to the term Masra. He gives over. Ki Moshe Hayefshar Lo Limsor Kol Asher Kibel Yoshua. Yeah, it's possible to give over everything that he received. V'chein Hayefshar Lo Yoshua Limsor Kol Asher Masra Lo Moshe L'Zekenim. Yeah, consecutively with the other generations. V'chein Zekenim L'Neviim for the prophets. V'chein L'Nanchik L'Sagadola. Because those generations, those first generations of the Masorah, of the Zekanim and the Nevi'im, etc., all of them were completely capable of receiving everything that their teacher had to tell them. Yeah? But from the generation of the return to Eretz Yisrael in the second Beis Hamikdash, Yisfilu Adoros Lefachos Uli Mayit, Bokumosh Yisbar B'samach, like we will explain more later. The generations became weaker. Antignos received. Just like Moshe was only able to receive according to his capabilities, so Antignos was only able to receive from Shimon HaTzadik, but it wasn't Moser. And their wisdom was decreased. He received according to his strength. So I only received from my teachers like a dog that's lapping up water from the ocean. Meaning, as much as the dog is going to lap up, he could do, you know, he could stand there for forever, is not going to take in the whole ocean, right? So similarly, Rabbi Elazar is saying, all the Torah that I've learned, it's like a drop in the ocean. Mechein kol azuko shezachar, like a drop in the ocean compared to what my teachers actually had.
Do you see any significance to the fact that Kelev HaMalachi Kamin HaYam is a negative connotation as we see him, like, show for him?
Yes, he's being intentionally negative, like to describe, he's the dog.
I mean, it's bad, this is bad to do it like this. it's just a bad way of learning Torah, or it's really just a sad reality?
It's a sad reality. It's saying that the Talmud's potential in receiving Torah is dependent to a large degree on the preparation of the student to be able to receive it. Obviously, there's the other side of that coin, which is the teacher has to be good at giving over, right? That's another element which we'll get to. But
also, when we said that all the generations were Musa, right? We're saying they were just able, meaning they weren't able to receive all the Torah. So meaning they were just able to receive all that Moshe learned.
No,
meaning Moshe kicked it off. He was obviously the one that kicked off the Masorah of the Torah. Yeah.
Moshe
was Makabel. Exactly. Moshe didn't even get the whole Torah.
So then how was the other people able to get the whole Torah?
So they got everything that Moshe had. Yeah. Everything that Moshe had. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't there Yusa in the relationship in the generation that they could receive all the Torah of the Rebbe or in the individual?
That's a good question. I mean, everyone is a product to one extent or another of their generation, right? But they're also independent. That's a good question. Yeah.
What was the question?
The question was the fact that there was a chisaron in these students, that they weren't able to receive everything that their teachers gave them, was that a deficiency in the generation as a whole, or was that a deficiency in the individual student? It's probably a function of both, right? A chisaron, like any individual chisaron, you could point to aspects of personal shortcomings and environmental shortcomings, right? I'm living in a generation that suffers from a certain problem, and I, by function of living in this generation, have succumbed to some of that. Right? It's not my fault necessarily, but it's just the reality. Yeah, it's a good question. Gemara talks about how the leaders, are the leaders of the generation a reflection of the people or not? Right? There's some right. They say that there are some doros that are kosher and the leaders are pasul, yeah? And some generations that the leader is good, but the people are bad. Right? Can't like. What?
Noah.
Well, I don't know if you can call Noach a leader. It's talking about like later generations that like the kings of the Jewish people. Sometimes you had righteous kings, but the people weren't like so stark, you know. And sometimes you had lehepek, like the people were strong, but the leaders were horribly corrupt, right? Anyway,
yeah. Like in our generations now, we have the most amount of people ever learning Torah.
Quantitatively, yeah. Max is ahead of me, yeah. Yeah.
So we're learning Torah at a lesser level than it was taught.
Well,
there's so much more Torah in the world right now.
Well, yes. Well, here's the okay. there was a chacham in Italy 300 years ago named David Valli, who was less known than his colleague, the Ramchal, right? But they both learned they were both part of like the same Chabura, and I think like for a while at least, David Valli was actually the Rebbe of the Ramchal. And so he writes a pshat of the well-known pasuk in Amos, Hinei Yamim Barim Yom Hashem, the Shalachti Rav Ba'aretz. There's going to be a famine. Lo Rav Alechem L'Shamayim, Kim L'Shamayim Dabar Hashem. It's not going to be a famine for bread and water, but rather to hear the word of God, yeah? So David says that the lechem and mayim that it's referring to is Torah. Okay? Because lechem and mayim are used as a euphemism for Torah in the Kitzvei HaKodesh, right? Lechu lachmu v'lachmi, pasuk in Mishlei, come eat my bread. Hoi koi tzameh lechu lamayim. These are euphemisms for the Torah. So what the pasuk is saying is that there's not going to be a lack of Torah. Torah is going to be readily available for whoever wants to learn it. But people are going to learn Torah and they're not going to hear the Dvar Hashem contained in the Torah. They're not going to feel any satiation, so to speak. It could be a lack of the Dvar Hashem in the Torah. Yeah? And we're talking about generations where, it's a common phenomenon. Rav Asher has a long mahalach on this, that like a lot of the earlier generations, they didn't have access to certain Sfarim. They just didn't have access to them. It's a big thing about the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. It's a bit of a tangent, but it says Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam was like not available. There weren't good translations from Arabic. It was just not available. And like a lot of issues that people have with certain Piske Halachos in the Yad are easily understood in light of something written in Sefer HaMitzvos. And because they didn't have access to them, they were left with these questions. Yeah, just as an example, but there are many examples. Yeah, what about generations that didn't have access this far? Today, that concept is so foreign to us, like not having access to a sefer. You want the Hebrew books, you go on Safari, you get the book you want, right? It's like, Osra Chachma, any sefer you possibly think of, yeah? But the Chisaron, he says, is going to be that there's no Dvar Hashem in the content. That's what people are going to be, right? In the Torah of Chabad, of the Alter Rebbe, he has a big idea about this on the pasuk. Kilo al lechem levado yichya adam, ki al kol motzapi Hashem yichya adam. That man doesn't live on bread alone, rather on the word of God. So he says, what that means is that the word of God contained in the food. Meaning it's not only the physical experience of eating the food and digesting it and breaking it down and getting energy from the food that you're eating, but it's that there's a metaphysical element contained in eating and any form of physical satiation that is also in parallel giving you sustenance. And if that's lacking, then you're never going to be satisfied, ever. Yeah? The Medrash in Rus Rabbah and Pasha Hay about this, I think we've talked about it before. But anyway, this is going on a long tangent. But anyway, to answer your question about the idea of the quality of Torah, right? The quality of the Dvar Hashem contained in Torah, so that's what we mean by Yeridos Adoros. It doesn't mean, by the way, that it's a perpetual downhill and there's no hope. Like there's no right? No. On the contrary, there's the resurgence is possible, right? The fact that Klal Yisrael is back in Eretz Yisrael after 19 centuries of not being here, and like the center of Torah has reverted back here. That already gives the Torah like a boost in quality that it didn't have, right? Averd Yisrael Machkim, Zahav Haaretz Hayitov. So these things, it's possible. It's possible to have an uptick in the quality. Anyway, that's our jobs. That's what we're trying to do. So. Yeah, so we finished that little section. This pattern was until the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Shayatola hakol benosen, that everything was dependent on the giver. The recipient was able to receive everything that was given to him. There was no lacking in the recipient. When there's a problem with the recipient, it's not correct to place the problem on the giver. What is it going to help? Right? If you have a fire hose of water, right? If the cup has a hole in it, doesn't matter. You can keep on pouring water all day long. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah? Nothing's going to get filled up. It says that the Nevi'im gave over to the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Even though it didn't say Masira by Yoshua and the Zakenim in the previous generations, until the transference from the Nevi'im to the Zakenim, until that link in the chain, it was all through Masira, through giving over, meaning everything that the previous generations had, they were able to successfully give over the entirety to the next generation. Mikan ve'elech, but from then on, lo hayakan mesira rak derech kabbalah. It was only through receiving, meaning it was dependent on the recipient. Ubo lomar b'zeh ki mash Anshei Knesset Gedola hayo omrim gimel dvarim elu. That wish that Anshei Knesset Gedola said these three things, right? They're the first people to say something. Yeah, Yoshua, the Nevi'im, and the Zakenim don't say anything. Yeah. They're just passive recipients. Yeah? So the Anshei Knesset Gedola, they say things. They say these three things. Hasiba hu, which means Doram, the Elah, from that generation on, Haisa Torah mismaetas. The Torah was lacking. Ba'ad kan haya akol mesira b'lo yoser. It was only giving over, and not anymore. Meaning it was only what was capable of being given over, and not anymore. B'hutzuchu la'azra atalmidim ala Torah k'moshe yisbar. And that's why the Anshei Knesset Gedola emphasized these aspects of chinuch, of Torah education. Because that was the problem. That was like the pressing problem of their generation. They realized, wait, there's something new now that wasn't before. Before, all the Talmidim were capable of receiving everything that their teachers gave over. And now we're starting to see that that's not the case. There's a lack in the Makablam.
Second question. It's kind of really, not really. In Pirkei Avot, when each person says there's three things, that means in society and what's lacking in society,
that's an interesting question. So the Lashon Hu Haya Omer, it's a unique lashon. He would say, but we don't find it in any other place in Chazal, really. Certainly not with that level of repetitiveness. It seems to be that when it says Huhaya Omer, what that means is that this was the main message that he tried to give over. You know, this was like the most important nekuda for him. Yeah. Minastam, it's honing in on some issue that was going on in that door, right? That's just the simple minastam, right? Because Yeshua was unique in the aspect of Mesira Satorah, right? Because he was the first Talmud, right? Essentially, right? Yeshua was the first Talmud, the first student.
Do we know that a lot of halachas were lost between Moshe and Yeshua?
Yes, this is, well, the Gemara in Temura says, Daf Tezayin, if I'm not mistaken, 300, it says that Osniel ben Kenaz, right, who is Ya'avetz, right, the Shofet, Ya'avetz, he was able to re-extract, right, from the Psukim, the halachas that were lost. Which is another indication about, like, the Yeridas Adoros in relation to the Torah, that it's possible that if you... What? Some of them you can, if there's, like, listen, if there's obviously, if there's ambiguity in the methods of Drusha, then there's a problem, right?
It says Yeshua Masrum, Moshe Masrum Yeshua.
Moshe Masrum, yeah.
So would that indicate Yeshua, that everything...
Everything that Moshe learned, he gave over. Yeah, that's correct.
But then how would Yeshua forget?
It says they forgot them b'nei evlo shel Moshe during the mourning period of Moshe, when no one was learning Torah, okay, for those 2 months or whatever it was, right? So they forgot them.
Why was the Avila so long? I mean, that's just random.
Why was it so long? I mean, Moshe's an important guy.
Self-induced longer Avilas.
So that's a good, right. So listen, there's a big question. It discussed in the sugya over here is in where is this in? The Rishonim have a diyun asking what part of Avelos is midoraisa and what aspect of Avelos is midorabbanan. It seems to be the pashtus is that the majority of Avelos are rabbinic institutions. That seems to be the pshat, that onen, that initial day of the day of kvura is from the Torah, and then everything else is midrabbanan. The shiva yemei avelos, the shloshim and the shana for certain relatives. It's all midrabbanan. It's in Shabbos. This is discussed in the Rishonim in the first paragraph of Shabbos. So yeah, the avelos can be extended or limited depending on the stringency of the situation, right?
What does it mean to be honest? Like the week long was extended?
Who?
Instead of having a week of that 1 week practice with certain things?
I don't know if we know specifically what practices of Avelos they had for Moshe. It doesn't say explicitly. Huh? Right, I'm saying we don't know how they practiced this, meaning what were they refraining from, what were they not refraining from. I don't know if we have any makaros on it. Anyway, so Yoshua was the first recipient of Torah. Bavadai al Moshe hayamuta limsar Torah Yoshua. It was Moshe's responsibility to give over the Torah to his Talmud. Shere Yoshua hayalafanov v'lamalo yimsar lo haTorah. Right, Yoshua was before him, able to receive. So why shouldn't he give him over? Give it over. Right, he had to deal with what was available before him, so to speak. Similarly with the prophets. There was no one else there able to receive it, able to give it over to. Oh, that's a good question. We see that in the first stages of the Masorah, so these are groups of people.
Yeshua is one person,
right? Well, yes, that's true.
What was that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why is he making the distinction between between these first generations, because Yeshua was also an individual person. That's true. That's true. I guess Yeshua is unique in that he was the appointed replacement for Moshe. So he was kind of just, you know, the second iteration of Moshe. There needed to be a leader that was gonna, you know, take the people into the land and you know, replace Moshe's role. But from then on, we see that there were generations that wasn't like one specific person that was the Baal Mesorah. Yeah? Like every generation had it was like there were many Baal Mesorah. Correct. Even though the Rambam in the Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, the Rambam does list the specific names of people that form the chain of the Mesorah. But that's not to say that they were the only ones, right? He seems to be saying that from the Ajikunes HaGedola and on, there were now specific people that they were known as the leaders of the generation. Like those were the people. Why is it that Shimon HaTzadik, who was the remnant of the Ajikunes HaGedola, why did he only give it over to Antikythos only? All the pairs, right? The heads of the the Zugos. One was the head of the Sanhedrin, one was the Nasi. Yeah. So why was it only kept amongst them? It's an indication of the times. Meaning he's saying, from the generation of Antikythos HaGedola and on, There wasn't a pool of viable applicants to come and learn. It was very, very limited. So only the people that stepped up to be the recipients, so those are the people that became the recipients. Yeah? Moshe Amar Kibel Atam Asher Nizkar Lamala Shelo Rotzal Asker Anosin Hu Hashem Yisbarach Etzel Mekabel Basav Adam. Fine. So he explained earlier that by Moshe it didn't want to include God in this list of people that. Like they're all people, right? They're all human beings. So it wasn't respectful of God to be, you know, in that list. Gam ki mitzad Hashem Yisbarach shu anosein al kol shava b'zeh. The im lo haya Moshe haya efshar limsar atorah la'acher. Rak ki Moshe zocha v'kibah l'kach tala b'moshe. Right. He's saying something else interesting. It's like another limiting idea to Moshe's stature. That in theory it could have been someone else that received the Torah. Yeah. The Gemara says about Ezra. So right. Rabbi Kiva himself, in the Gemara Menachos, it says that Rabbi Kiva was able to receive the Torah. The Gemara says the same thing about Ezra Sofer, that Ezra was able to receive it if he was alive in that generation. Very interesting, interesting point. Right? Why isn't Elazar HaKohen included in that chain? Yeah. They didn't need him. Right, Lechora, it's simple why he's not included in the chain, because he was like a colleague of Yeshua. They were in the same, huh? I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter if they were in the same generation, if they were in the same, you know, period, then, you know, there's no reason to include him. Elazar is not considered a unique recipient of Moshe. Even though for sure Elazar did receive Torah from him, nonetheless, it wasn't considered unique. Why not? We see that Yeshua and Moshe had a unique relationship. That Yeshua was constantly following Moshe around to the point that Yeshua was allowed to go up to Sinai with him. Right. Yeah.
Elazar died after Yeshua.
What?
Elazar died after Yeshua. It had to be the
okay.
Yeshua dies here, then Elazar dies here.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the right chronological order.
Right. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the timeline. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But regardless, it doesn't matter. The point is that. If they were colleagues, meaning they were the same door, they were the same generation, so they both received from the same level up, right? Like Moshe's level one and they're level two. Yeah? But what it's saying is more to the point that Yeshua had a unique relationship with Moshe that no one else had. Yeah? That you will give from your honor, from Moshe's honor will be placed upon him, Yeshua. Va'amruzal. And Moshe's face was like the sun, And Yeshua's face was like the moon. What does that mean? I mean, just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, it receives the light of the sun directly, and whatever the moon is shining off is a reflection of the sun. So too, Yeshua to Moshe. Yadua ki alavan mekabel as azoar minachama, ulefikacha mekabel miuchel Moshe hu Yeshua, ulefikachama hu masra le Yeshua. Then he gave it over to Yeshua. V'lo yikshe lecha sof sof kibel alazar kohen gam kein torah mipi Moshe, v'lo malo amar shemasra le alazar kohen. So, says the Maharal, if you want to be an Akshan, if you want to be really stubborn and say, okay, fine, there's a unique relationship between Moshe and Yeshua, but still, in the end of the day, Elazar was a Talmud of of Moshe. So why doesn't it list him in the same list? So says the Maharal, chilef v'had lo yesh, there's a distinction. Ki Yeshua ha-yamakabu be'etzem ha-Torah mipi Moshe. Yeshua received the essence of the Torah from Moshe. Ki hu ha-yamukhan ve'omen lezeh ha-kabu mipi Moshe. Because he was, as we said, had this relationship with Moshe that he was able to receive the essence of Torah. We'll elaborate on what that means, hopefully, in a moment. Aval Elazar afal pi shegam hu kibel haTorah, even though he also received Torah from Moshe, kevan shelo hayah miyuchad lezeh kmo Yeshua, nechshar kabalaso shehi b'mikra. Happenstance. U'madavar shehu kazeh shehu mesiras haTorah shebo toloi kiyum haolam. When discussing a matter such as the giving over of Torah, the Masorah of Torah, a matter which the existence of the world is dependent on, Ein Roy Leos Dover Ze B'mikre. It can't be happenstance. It's like saying this. It's like saying, you know, if I have an important message, right? If I have like a letter on my desk that I need to get to the secretary's office, yeah? And, you know, if it's a relatively mundane message, so I'll wait till someone happens to be passing by, going to the office, I'm saying, can you drop this off on your way? Okay, so it's not so important. So I'll wait for someone who happens to be going. But if it's something that if I don't get to the secretary's office in the next 5 minutes, the building is going to collapse, I'm not going to wait for someone who's passing by, even if there's a lot of people passing by. Doesn't matter. I'm going to grab someone and say, your job is to deliver this letter. Go, right now. Yeah? So Elazar was receiving the Torah from Moshe in that way, in a nikra fashion. Meaning what? There's Torah to learn. Moshe's the guy who has it. So I'm going to learn from him. Yeah? But it wasn't the same as Yeshua, who bound himself to Moshe and said, listen, you are the next link in the chain. Listen to everything that I'm telling you and remember it. Yeah? Oh, so the difference is in the intentionality. That's the difference. Because with something as simple as delivering a letter, that's the shortcoming of the analogy that I just gave. Because the letter, it's not particularly complicated. Meaning either it gets to the office or it doesn't get to the office. But with Torah, which has layers of complexity, not just in the amount of information, but also in the quality of the information, right? The intentionality matters a lot. Yeah, if you're reading a book for pleasure, or if you're learning a book because you're going to be tested on it and you need to get a grade in order to, you know, pass university. So you read the book with a different intention. You just, right, the extent to which the information is inculcated into your consciousness is higher. Yeah? So again, they can learn the same content. Elazar and Yeshua can learn the same content from the same teacher. But because Yeshua has been designated as the next link in the chain, so there's a much higher level of it, right? This is how to approach this, by the way. He says, right, Davar kemesiras haTorah shebo toloi kiyum haolam. The existence of the world is dependent on this, right? Rav Soloveitchik, I heard from there's another story that from Rav Riskin, but I read this in print. I didn't hear it from him. He said that at one of the smicha celebrations in YU, where they graduate a whole class of rabbanim, exactly, chag smicha. So he gave over the story that's told over in Sanhedrin, the Roman Sanhedrin, about Ben Bisaira, that the Romans outlawed smicha. Yeah. So Ben Bisaira came and, you know, took a few of his choice talmidim, like, you know, in the middle of the desert somewhere, so like no one would find them, and, you know, and did the smicha with them. And while they were in the middle, so some contingent of Roman soldiers like found them, and they were chasing after them. And Ben Bisaira told his talmidim to run, like run for it, like I'll hold them off. Yeah. So Ben Bisaira is killed. Right, his talmidim escape, and he's killed. So says Rav Soloveitchik, how did he know that he was even allowed to do that? That he was allowed to put himself in sakonas nefashos in order to give his talmidim smicha? Yeah? To say it's a Kal V'chomer. Like, if you're allowed to give over your life for certain mitzvos, which you have to do, and the shmad, right? In case of shmad, even like for a mitzvah kala, right? In order to ensure the continuity of the entire Torah, right? Alachas kama v'kama. Like, this is the whole thing here. Yeah? So again, I don't know if that if in that generation can identify one individual Gadol Hador. This is the same generation as Rabbi Akiva, right? There's other chacham in there as well, right? But yeah, this is at the height of Roman persecution, right? Like really, really clamping down. So anything that needed to be done in order to ensure the continuity of Torah, like it was, yeah, had the din of sakanas nefashos. Yeah,
to throw some of your Torah back at you, kind of made the same plug between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yosef ben Uziel.
And who?
And
Yonatan ben Uziel. Okay. Yeah.
But last, what we're saying is that, like,
and so, yeah,
had to get real from Zach. I learned everything.
Yes.
How could Yonatan ben Uziel went up it? He
said,
like, Mama and Arsinai.
Quality
of, like, the giving over the Torah.
Yafeh. Yeah. Very good.
But here we're not saying that Yoshua's quality was better.
We are saying that.
We're just saying that the reason why Yoshua was only included in this was because Moshe gave it to him. Because when we're talking about the Masorah, we're only going to talk about things that were given, whatever is Lashon, his Lashon of intention. What's the Lashon that he uses?
No, so I added that in order to explain what he's saying. The Lashon that he says, here, ubedavar shehu kazeh. Actually, I'm underlining this. Ubedavar shehu kazeh. Masiras haTorah shabot tolei kiyum haolam ein roi lios davar zeh benikra. Nikra means happenstance.
Right. He's just saying the reason why Yoshua was included here and not Eleazar was because Yoshua got it in a higher level. You're saying?
He's saying chiluk vehevdol yesh. There's a distinction. A distinction between what? A distinction between the Torah received by Eleazar, or the receiving of Eleazar, versus the receiving of Yoshua. What's that distinction? That Yoshua was a mekabel be'etzem. I actually translated that wrong. It's not that he received etzem haTorah. It's that haya mekabel be'etzem. He was a recipient in his essence, which was not the case of Eleazar. Eleazar was not a recipient in his essence. He happened to receive the Torah from Moshe. He happened to be there, right? You happen to listen to a lot of shiurim on the right on, you know, on Wayu Torah or whatever, Kol Halashon, doesn't matter, right? It's not like that person is your Rebbe. It happens to be that this is a convenient way of learning Torah, but the context in which you sit down and say this is my avenue of studying Torah, that is making yourself a makabel be'etzem, and it is about intentionality. It is about putting yourself into this. Actually, dovetails something that we read before, in the very first page, where he's just, you know, giving an introduction to some ideas here, where it says Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai. Right? Why does it emphasize Sinai? Right? There's a few ways to ask this question. Right. So that was one of the answers. Why it doesn't say God? Because it's not proper to list God on a list with other human beings. That's like one answer, and that's an important nekuda. But he says the primary idea is kibbutz miSinai because Sinai was the designated place in which Torah was going to happen. So anything that you designate a place for, it's saying that this is important. Anything that's important, you designate a spot for. Anything.
Yeah?
First Rashi in Vayikra.
Vayikra, Moshe.
About the Ol Moed. Oh, yeah.
By the rest of the Gosh Olam, that was Vayikra, Yom.
Yeah. So the... Yes, exactly. So he actually brings up that idea of the Ol Moed. The Moed means like a set designated spot. That's what Moed means. Yeah? Moed, Va'ad. It's also Lashon Ya'ad. Ya'ad is a destination. Like you're pointing to a place. This is where I want to go. So it's the same idea that to put yourself in the proper headspace of being a Makabel, it's all about focus and intentionality. That's what it is. That's why Chazal talk about all the time about being koveya mokum, right? Even with tefillah as well, outside of the dimension of Torah. Call it koveya mokum with tefilaso, elohe avram ba'ozra, as the Gemara in Brachos says, yeah? Person who establishes a specific spot for their prayer. What does it matter if I daven in this corner of the base of Medrash or the other corner? Like, it's still Shemoneh Esrei, I'm still Yotzei, and indeed you are Yotzei. You're Yotzei. But it's all about putting yourself into the space, the headspace, the consciousness that we want to be in. Yeah? So if things are... designated. Right? Huh?
Set a time for yourself to learn.
Nachon, kovei item. Exactly, kovei item. Yeah, same time.
Time.
But it's the same thing. It's just another dimension. I think we've mentioned this, right? One of the very, very important Mishnayos in Sefer Yetzirah, yeah? That the dimensions that we deal with in Elokus is, right, it's contained in the acronym Asham. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. Olam being space, like geographical space. Shana, year, meaning time. And Nefesh is the subjective inner experience, like of your mind and heart. Yeah? That's where Elokus operates. These are the three places. So you're Koveya yourself in place, in time, and in consciousness. You're Koveya yourself, you make yourself a Makabel Be'etzem. Be'etzem. Right? Not Makabel Be'mikra. Like, listen to a shir here, listen to a shir there. Yeah? And I would say even, like, what? Who gave this over about the Siyam Mashas, the two Siyam Mashas, one after the other? No, Rav Targan's relative. That one was a Siyam Mashas for, like, his regular learning. One was a Siyam Mashas for when he found 5 minutes here and there. A relative of Rav Targan. He had a Siyam Mashas for his, like, regular Seder. Right? He had a Siyam Mashas for, like, every time he had 5 minutes, his grandfather. Okay, fine. So there's a place for both of these things, right? But again, it's two different types of avoda. One is like every opportunity that you have, you grab it, right? In the moment. But the primary avoda is to put yourself into a place, into a.
Yeah. So reliant on structure.
It's all about structure. The structure allows the thing to operate.
Is it bad that the structure reliance on structure?
Is it bad? That's the nature of being. That's the nature of reality.
I was just in America for a week and like I didn't have as much structure and it's definitely harder to learn without structure.
This is not just a pragmatic, good advice. It's also that, but it's that structure equals actualization. That's what it means. Structure equals actualization. And the more structure, the more actualization is possible. Right? You as an individual have certain potential. You make yourself structure, and you give yourself your full potential. But you as an individual, you have limits. More structure requires more people. Right? The more people come, there's more structure is possible. Then more actualization is possible. More structure, more. Right? It blooms. Things coalesce to become more than the... Yeah. Could you learn as much in quantity and quality if you were sitting in a room by yourself alone for a year, as opposed to if you were sitting, in a Beis HaMedrash? Obviously not. Yeah, it's the more and more layers of structure that are allowing the more and more quality to emerge. It's just the nature of reality, right? It's literally the Erev and Boker of Maisa Bereishis. Yeah, making more and more Seder from Tohu. Yeah? The more Seder there is, the more flourishing there can be. Yeah? So Yehoshua, who was he made himself a Makabel Be'etzem. He made himself a recipient in his essence. So he was the guy. Even though again there were other people. There were other people that also received Torah from Moshe, but they weren't Makabel Be'etzem.
I have a question only on Lazar. Why is it only on Lazar? Didn't Moshe have a whole base manager where he taught Israel?
Listen, you guys the same question on Pinchas. That's the same question, on Aaron Lechora, although you could say maybe Aaron wasn't alive in the next generation, fine, whatever. The point is, like, everyone, all of the people there, they all received Torah from Moshe, right? Isamar asked questions on all those other people that were there that for sure received Torah from Moshe. Yeah? I guess it's singling out Elazar because he was, the next Kohen Gadol, so to speak. So he was, an important figure, worth mentioning. No, so why does it mention him? I guess, I'm assuming. Anyway, let's see if we could just finish this off over the next 5 minutes. We don't have too much time. L'vikach lo kasha hare lo hoya kein seder akabala. It was not the order of the Kabbalah Satorah. Shari Amru b'braisa. In the Bryson Erev, and this is what we were referring to a second ago, this Bryson. Kate said Seder Mishnah. Uba also Bryson Tana ki Masor Moshe HaTorah l'chol Yisrael. Moshe gave over the Torah to the entire Jewish people. Aval hayolahem haKabbalah b'mikre. But the people who received it, meaning all the Jewish people, their Kabbalah was in this level of quality, mikre, happenstance. Velo nechshav zeh Kabbalah klal. ki efshar shi yikablu ve efshar shelo yikablu. Vezeh lo nechshav kabbalah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, this, by the way, like you mentioned the Vayikra, this is the Vayikar versus Vayikra. Yeah, the Vayikar of Bilam, Lashon Mikre, and the Vayikra of Moshe, Lashon Chiba. And Moshe was so humble, he couldn't even write about himself Vayikra. He had to like make the Aleph a little small, right? Yeah? It's the Mikre of Bilam versus the, right, the Kvius of Moshe. Even though Moshe gave over the Torah to the entire Jewish people, lo nikra mesira rak mi shenish eres etzlo. It's not called giving over only to the person who remains with him. He didn't only teach, he gave it over. You can teach something and then it's not remembered. It's another subtle distinction that makes a world of difference. What we're saying is that, you know, if you give someone instructions on how to, I don't know, some like relatively inconsequential task, yeah? You know, like the guy that's Masadar, the Beis HaMedrash, so like, you know, he knows how to order all the books, yeah? So someone is coming and, you know, replacing him for that night because he has a wedding. So he says, yeah, when you put the books back on the shelf, like, this is how you do it. So he says, okay, fine, I'll remember, yeah? He's not making himself a replacement. He's not giving over, he's not passing the baton over to some other guy. He's just saying, you need instructions on how to do something, okay, so I'll tell you how to do it, yeah? The difference between giving a Masora of creating the next link in the chain and just teaching someone how to do something. It's a difference. And the difference is in the quality. The difference is in, again, the difference is in the intentionality. L'chein Amru. And similarly they say in the Gemara Nadar, Eitzel Vayitein Moshe Kechaloso, that it was given to Moshe as God ceased to speak to him. D'mitchilo l'man Moshe v'haya m'shakeach ad sh'masak Rosh Baruch Hu eilav ha-Torah b'matana. It says over there in the Gemara that Moshe received the Torah and forgot it. He was right. He would learn something and he would forget it until God gave it to him in a gift. Right? It's alluded to in the pasuk in Bamidbar. Right? Umimidbar matana. Right? Umimidbar matana. That from the midbar they traverse to matana. Right? From when a person places himself in a place where he's committed to the study of Torah, it's given to him as a gift, given to him a free gift. So similarly, it was given over to Moshe as a free gift. In order for a person to establish his girsa, in order to establish his Torah knowledge, he requires help from heaven. This siyata d'shmaya was only present in Yeshua, because he made himself worthy of this. That Yeshua gave it over to the next generation. They made themselves roi, and because they made themselves roi, they had the siyata d'shmaya that no one else had. As we said before, in the Gemara of Baba Basra, that Moshe was akin to the sun, vis-a-vis his student Yeshua was like the moon. Shahaya kulo or kilu she'ein lo goof klal. A person looks at the sun; it just seems like a ball of light. You don't see like an object. It's not like you see a flashlight. You see the flashlight, and you see the light beam coming out of it. It's not like that. You see the sun, and it's just like this orb of light. There's no body. There's no independent essence. Kach haya Moshe kilu hu nivda legamrei min achomer. Moshe, as we know, is called Ish ha'Elohim, which literally means the God Man. He's like not really one of us. He's something else. Yeah. Kamosha Be'arna Pamim Harba Madregas Moshe Rabbeinu. Like the Maharal explains, is also a running theme through the Kisrei Maharal that Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The fact that he's even named. It says in Vurash Hashem, in Perikov Gilman, if I'm not mistaken, Mina Mayim Mishisiu, that he's called Moshe because he was removed from the water. What does that mean? Removed from water. Mayim is always symbolizing this chomrius, materialistic element. Yeah? And Moshe is, he's removed from the water. That's
why
what defines him.
Mayim
is, I mean, listen. Everything is contextual. Everything is contextual, because sometimes Mayim Dafka means things that are elevated and lofty and spiritual. That's true. So everything is context, right? But in that particular context, it's referring to the materialistic aspect of nature. Yeah? And Moshe is removed from that. Yeah? What was he? What did you say?
No, I was saying Mayim also means Torah.
Nahon. Everything is contextual. This is the idea, by the way, if you ever hear, I'm not sure if you've heard this already, but eventually you will hear it, it's good to know now what it means. That in the study of Nisr, there's an idea that was really formulated by the Arizal, Kisvei Arizal. This is one of the reasons why the Arizal is considered such a big milestone in the Shalsharas HaKabbalah. He formed this idea of the Partsufin. Partsufin means facets. Facets, right? Parts of it is like a face, right? Like a facade of a building. The face. The building has multiple faces. Yeah? So what does that mean? When we say Shivim Panim LaTorah, I'm sure you've heard that term before. There's 70 faces. What does it mean, 70 faces? It means that depending on the context of what it is that we're talking about, on any given thing could have multiple meanings. Yeah? You'll see this, by the way. It's not only in the world of Nistar and, you know, and Machshava. You'll see, like, for example, just to give you a very simple example, when the Gemara is darshaning klal pratu klal, okay? So sometimes the same word that a second ago was being used as a klal is in this context being used as a prat, and vice versa. Because it all depends on the context, what it's being compared to. In comparison to this, this is a prat. But in comparison to that, it's a klal. So it depends. It depends the context. Yeah. So the idea of the partsuf, right, the shivim panim, the faces, right, in the context that we're dealing with, this means this. And that's why it's so important. You can't just like hone on to a specific word. Yeah. Rav Asher has a thing about this. I'm quoting Rav Asher a lot. Rav Asher has a thing about this in terms of with the term shaliach. That shaliach is used by Chazal in many different contexts. Yeah. Like shliach shalom kamoso. And conversely, you have shaliach tzibur. A shaliach tzibur isn't—it's not the same shaliach as shaliach shalom kamosa, right? Like you can't appoint someone. Yeah, go daven shachris for me.
No, some people say when you go daven.
No, but that's—I'll deny that you hear chazaras hashatz, and that's mitin shomea kaona. That's not mitin shlichos. It's not shlichos. Shlichos, I can go send someone to do something for me on the other side of the world, and it's as if I did it. I have no connection. I don't see him doing it. I don't hear him doing nothing. I send him to do something for me. He did it. It's as if I did it. Yeah? But with tefillah, it's not like that. Yeah? The shaliach tzibur is not the shaliach. He's not a shaliach like Shliach Shalom Kamoso. It's like... Yeah. Anyway.
Shliach Shalom Kamoso is crazy.
Huh?
That indicates that's all based on intention and not on action at all.
Correct. Well, it's appointing someone to act in your behalf.
But then we say generally that at least the mitzvahs don't fully need kavanah.
Mitzvahs ain't strictas kavanah. Yeah.
But if we say like they need a little bit of kavanah, right? Like that you're doing a mitzvah.
Well, that's not necessarily connected to shliach shalom kamoso.
But shliach shalom kamoso is indicating that it's all about kavanah. This is indicating.
So let's just simplify this. There's a very well known Tosfos Rid in the Kiddushin that talks about this. The distinction between mitzvah shebagufo, things that a person has to fulfill individually, they have to do it, as opposed to things that the person, it's their responsibility to get them done. So for instance, I have an obligation to put on tefillin. I have to do that action. I have to put on tefillin. Cleaning my house for Pesach is not something that I have to do. I just have to get it done. Yeah? It's an important distinction. So putting on tefillin, I can't appoint someone to put on tefillin for me because I have to put on tefillin. Cleaning my house for Pesach, I can appoint someone else to do that. I don't have to do it. I just have to make sure that it gets done. Yeah? So that's the distinction. So the person who's doing it has to have kavanah. When we say mitzvah shichas kavanah, which is a big machlokas rishonim, as we all know, yeah? Mitzvah shichas kavanah applies to the person who's doing the action. Yeah? When they're doing it, so they have to have a certain intention. If the shaliach that I send to be mekadesh a woman for me doesn't have kavanah when he's being mekadesh the woman, so obviously she's not mekudeshes. Yeah, so he has to have the kavanah. Yeah, is that clear? Okay, so let's just finish off the paragraph. We'll call it a night. Fine. We just read that. He was akin to the sun. Moshe Baron Pam Harba, Madrigas Moshe, Rabbeinu Alvashalom, that he was very removed from all material physicality. Yoshua was like the moon. That he has a goof, right? The moon has a body, so to speak. And that body is it receives the rays of the sun. You will give from your shining countenance upon him. So what's the point that he's trying to say? That I don't know if this is saying why Yoshua and Moshe are a unique fit. Rather, it's saying that why Yoshua needed to come after Moshe, whereas Moshe had little to no attachment to the physical world, Yoshua was more grounded. Yeah, so Moshe needed someone to give over the Torah to that can receive. Yeah, that's unclear. Moshe,
the sun can't receive light from the sun.
Yes, correct. Exactly. It requires a unique type of person that's able to be both grounded in the world and receive from an intense place like Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, that he can be both in the world and receive from like a higher place. Moshe was like completely somewhere else. He wasn't really with us ever. Yeah. He was hanging out in the Olivet, he had his face behind a mask all the time, right? He wasn't really with us, right? Yoshua had the ability, right? He was with us, like Yoshua is, like, you know, here. Yeah. He's the Isha Sher Ruach Bo. He's the man with the spirit, with the collective spirit of the people. Like, he can understand everyone, he can relate to everyone. Yeah? So he was the guy who was both grounded and able simultaneously to receive from Moshe, who was like this incandescent sun and like totally out of reality. Huh? There you go. Shkaf.
Moshe wear a mask.
So it says